The Feast of the Transfiguration is one of the principal feasts in the Church's annual liturgy. If we wonder why, the reason is not far to seek. Christ allowed himself to be transfigured before his chosen disciples, Peter, James, and John, in order to strengthen their faith, and through them, strengthen ours. What happened at the Transfiguration? Christ took aside his three chosen followers, took them up on the mountain, and in their presence was suddenly transfigured, so that his face shone like the sun, and his garments were as white and brilliant as the snow. During the Transfiguration, the disciples were stunned. And Peter, always ready to speak for the others, Peter told Jesus, "Let's stay here. Make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." The evangelists say Peter did not really know what he was saying. What then happened? What happened was that Christ was suddenly transfigured from an ordinary human being to the kind of a human being he was to become after his resurrection, the kind that he is now in heaven, and the kind that we are going to be after our resurrection from the dead. It is impossible, I repeat, it is impossible to exaggerate the importance of the Transfiguration in the history of the Church and in the life of Christianity. Why is it so important? This Jesus, who soon after the Transfiguration would be taken captive, scourged, crowned with thorns, and crucified. During his life, made some astounding claims, and on his followers laid some impossible demands. He claimed to be one with the Father, so that like the Father, he was the creator of the sun, moon, and stars. He claimed to be the one who on the last day would come to judge the living and the dead. He claimed to be almighty, all-knowing. He claimed to be everlasting before the world was made. And the demands he made on human nature were just, as humanly speaking, incredible. When the Pharisees came to him and asked him, trying to trap him, whether a man could put away his wife for any reason, because there was a dispute among the Jews, the hardliner said, no, you can't put away your wife for any reason, but only for adultery. And then, of course, you can put her away and remarry. The liberal said, any reason. And the Talmud of the Jews, some 26 volumes of commentary, tell the story of a rabbi who hosted another rabbi. The wife didn't like the guest. The husband thought she was boiling chicken on the stove. After an hour, the husband thought he would lift the lid and see what was in the kettle. Just water. So the guest said, what are you going to do? What should I do? Tell her right now. You're divorcing her. The Pharisees trying to trap Jesus didn't expect the answer. You may not put away your wife for any reason. And if it should be adultery, you may not remarry. The disciples, masculine gender, Lord, seems to us better not marry. Imagine, they thought to themselves, not being able to remarry even though your wife is unfaithful. And Christ's answer is the reason there is a monastery here, in of all places, Lake Villa. Because then Jesus said, not only do I not retract what I've just told you, but there are some who will even have the grace to forego marriage for a whole lifetime. He instituted consecrated chastity. Christ told his followers not just to love their neighbor, which already the Old Testament had commanded. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's plenty, because we are hugging ourselves constantly. Christ told us to love one another as he who is God loves us. And surely God loves us more than we love ourselves. He told us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, the exact words of the Master. This Jesus, then, had better have done something astounding to make his incredible claims believable and his humanly impossible commands observable. What I am saying is not trivial, because millions, hundreds of millions, who have heard of Christ don't believe in him. And sadly, as we're discovering now, not a few who had believed stopped believing. No one thinks himself or reasons himself into unbelief. They will themselves into unbelief. Christ is too much for them. In order then to have this human mind submit to Christ's claims and demands, Christ worked miracles, among which the two most outstanding was Christ's resurrection, which we celebrate on Easter Sunday, and to make sure we wouldn't forget, we celebrate 52 times a year. And Christ's transfiguration, which we celebrate today. And the two go together. Because Christ, by anticipation, revealed something of the beauty and majesty and glory of his risen body. But one more lesson. It was not only to make our faith credible that Christ transfigured himself. It was also to make our hope much more expectable, something we are looking forward to for ourselves, because Christ's transfigured body was his way of foretelling our resurrection on the last day. And the church has been teaching ever since. The way Christ looked at his transfiguration is the way, dare we say it, we're going to look in heavenly glory. Our bodies are going to be transfigured. In other words, we are destined to be rewarded not only in spirit, but for all eternity also in body. Our bodies will be glorified. That means no more sorrow, no more pain. If I ever boasted, I've stopped boasting. My hospitalization with heart surgery last year was my 17th as a Jesuit. All I know is that the human body can suffer pain. What a gift to offer up to God in this life as some little price for a transfigured body in the life to come. The inconvenience, the mortification, and some of it, as religious, self-imposed. I wasn't around, but I don't suppose you people put on light chiffon dresses during the heat that by now you must have had in this part of Illinois this summer. Does it make sense? Yes. Because faith tells us And it's the same Peter, by the way, whom we quoted in the Mass today. Remember? It was after the resurrection, so his lips were opened. He could talk about the transfiguration after Christ had gone to heaven. It is this same Peter who tells us, and how sweet those words are to our ears. The sufferings of this life are as nothing compared to the glory to be revealed in us. Jesus transfigured in your body, give us the grace to serve you faithfully in soul and body, so that one day, sooner than we think, we shall be transfigured with you and like you, and never to be separated from you for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.